Vibe, 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 v Look, I've settled on that jingle.
Exactly. Right, cool.
Yeah, guys, we're back for another episode of Vibes and Tribes with your host Baze. Mm. And today it's another episode of Getting to Know the Tribe. But this one, I'm excited about it. This is one of the most interesting people that I know. But let me not steal his thunder. Con, don't know if you want to introduce yourself to those who might not have heard your voice before.
Yeah, man, I'm Connor, isn't it?
That's like, it.
That's just my name. I don't know, where do you want to start, man?
Well, we'll start with my nickname for Con, which is Young Satoshi. What we want to do today is just kind of take you on a journey, because Con's journey is so off the beaten track, is what I'll say. So I think the way I like to start it is, what's your current job title and where are you currently?
Current job title is product manager.
Okay.
A company called Square Crypto.
Jeez. Okay, so you're into cryptocurrency, yeah?
Yeah, I'm into Bitcoin.
You're into Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Okay, so not even
to be specific.
You like to be specific?
Yeah.
And for those who don't know what Bitcoin is, do you want to just give a quick, you know, 1 to 2 minute overview on what Bitcoin is?
Oh, it's a tough one. If I have to give Bitcoin a tagline, I don't know. It's a new digital money that's more fair and open than the money we use today.
Mm.
A lot of Bitcoiners believe that a lot of the inequality you see in society is due to the money itself.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this kind of saying, change the money, you change the world.
Yeah, that's so, a bit like Heroes, save the cheerleader, save the world.
Yeah,
but it's change the money, change the world.
Change the money, change the world. So it goes to a lot of the root of what money is, why it's important.
Mm.
And it's basically a new type of money that gives anyone access. Because for us that, you know, live in the West, UK, America, we've always had access to financial services.
Big facts.
There's 2 to 3 to 4 billion people that are underbanked,
mm-hmm,
or don't have access at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the comparisons I like to use is the internet.
Yep.
So the internet democratized information for people.
Big
and,
facts.
What that did for people's ability to educate themselves and learn, and you know, when you can educate yourself,
YouTube,
you
better, it, yeah, Google it,
exactly, you can better your life, right?
Massive.
So imagine what being able to access a financial network without permission can do for people.
Mm.
You can buy things from a kid in rural Nigeria, for example, or someone who's talented in Vietnam can sell their, you know, their goods and services to someone in Colombia with no barriers in between.
Mm.
So it's a powerful piece of technology, and we in the space think it's kind of, you know, probably the most revolutionary technology in the last, maybe in human history.
Jesus.
But certainly in the last, 500 years.
Okay.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, that's powerful, but I wanted that intro, but before we even get to that and where we're at today, I want to take it way, way, way back.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually went to secondary school together.
Mm-hmm.
So I've known Connor like pretty much my whole life. Went to Chadwell. Shout out Chadwell.
Big
What did you study?
When I was GCSEs?
Yeah, if we're talking, when did you study up until? Well, I know the answer, but for the people listening.
So I studied up until I was 16, so I did my GCSEs.
Did your GCSEs?
But I was actually in and out of school from like the age of 14.
Okay, and why is this?
Because I used to play for West Ham.
Jeez, Irons, yeah. Irons.
The Hammers are close to a man's heart, but...
Yeah.
So I was one of the players who was excelling at that age.
Mm.
So they wanted to kind of fast track me into playing in the older ages, so I would miss initially 2 days a week of school.
Yeah.
At 14.
Crazy.
To go train with the olders.
Yeah. I remember.
I actually studied, what did I study? PE. I can't even remember.
I mean, it's fine. We don't need to go into that in too much detail.
Yeah.
But I'd say missing 2 days a week of school, did you make up for that at home? Or was it just those 2 days?
I did, 100%. Like, my parents are people who value education a lot, so that was never going to run, that you'd go and play ball Tuesday, Thursday, and you're not going to come home and catch up. That's not really going to run
in
our household.
Yeah, of course, so, I know that.
Yeah, I've done well in GCSEs. I think I got like 8 A's, 3 A stars kind of.
Yeah, vibes. You were always that guy.
So I mashed that up.
And I suppose for you, being out of school 2 days a week, what was the secondary school experience like for you? Like, did you enjoy it? Was school something you enjoyed going to? What was it like? Did you feel a bit disconnected because you weren't always there?
No, I enjoyed school, man. Like, school
was, enjoyment.
Yeah, enjoyment. School was vibey. Obviously, like, when you're the one who has that, you know, you're playing for the local team at a time that are in the Prem, and like everyone respects you on the level of having talent that not many in the year group have.
And that's just a big fact, by the way, because he used to come and play in a couple of games.
Yeah.
And the you know the term twisting people up, that's what Connor was doing. Connor's fast as well, like just an athlete. Just
rapido.
Rapido.
So, yeah, I felt respected, loved, like even outside of ball, like, because I like to think I'm a nice person.
So, yeah,
like,
definitely.
Even if man didn't have that, I'd like to think people respect man just off that anyway.
Yeah.
So.
And then I suppose, so 14 to 16, training with, you know, people above your age group, I suppose for those people who are aspiring to be footballers, like, what was that like?
It was interesting because when you're the younger player in a group of, you know, more senior, I wouldn't even call them senior, but just older players, there is a level of tension that, like, oh, this young buck
is trying to take our spot.
Kind of, yeah, we need to.
Jeez.
So, depending on how you carry yourself, it can kind of make or break you in certain instances. My advice would be, if you ever do find yourself in that position in any environment where you're the, maybe the less senior in a group, you should, if you're there, you're there for a reason.
Yeah.
And you should always, you should believe in yourself to the point that, like, you're playing on a level playing field as everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't always have that mentality. I didn't go in there like, man's here, I can ball with you lot, necessarily. I was always a bit, like, unsure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I hear you.
And it even gets even worse if you're a 16-year-old in the first team.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying? Because them are slapping imposter you around. Syndrome. It's not even imposter syndrome, but, like, they're not trying to welcome you.
Yeah.
Like, them men are trying to slap you around in training. And if you're not there coming on a solo, like, let's go, let's have it.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. Like, it's not going to...
Okay. So, I suppose you said that you were one of the 14-year-olds that were chosen. Were there many 14-year-olds playing up, or were you one of a few?
There's a couple. Like, I'd say maybe, like, 3 in our age group.
Okay. And then, I suppose, you know, one thing that people, a lot of local people probably listen to this podcast, like, who were you balling with? Would we know anybody you were balling with at the time?
Not many, like, made it to, like, the top level in my age group or even in around my age group. But a lot of lads are playing at good levels. So,
okay.
Like, Cristiano Montano, I just spoke to him yesterday. Funny enough, he's playing in the Scottish Premier League.
Oh, okay.
Livingston.
Oh, yeah.
So he's doing really well. Players that are slightly older than me, like Freddie Sears,
I remember
Ipswich and West Ham, and Junior Stanislas at Bournemouth.
Okay, yeah.
The Jack Collison, slightly older than me again, but obviously West Ham, Wales International, and all that good stuff. So James Tompkins.
Okay, so
they're
ballers.
Like older.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like,
but
maybe two.
You were in and around.
I was playing with them when I was like 14, 15, 16, kind of, you know.
And I think just before we move on from this, at that age, or actually probably could get into this, but who was the baller? Who was the baller that you looked to? And maybe we can touch on when you were 16 as well. But
what do you mean, at West Ham?
Yeah.
Who would that? The thing is, I never, as a player, I didn't rate anyone.
You got to have that mentality.
I'm not looking at people I'm playing with thinking, like, I'm looking up to you. Obviously, I'm respecting, man. I'm thinking, yeah, you're a good player and stuff, but I'm not, like, thinking, oh, you're the one.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's more like maybe other teams I'd be like, oh, he's the one in that team. So like John Bostock.
I remember you saying.
Or Jack Wilshere. Or Manuel Frimpong.
Sanchez
Watts. Like us, we look at them and like, oh,
they're crazy.
They're cold.
Yeah.
If they don't, then boy, And if they don't make it, then boy. And just Townsend's and...
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is it that made them so good? Was it just touch? Was it just everything? They were just a step ahead?
Yeah. I think that my age group at Arsenal, particularly like 91, 92 squad, had
a lot
of sick players. Like, They just played football the right way.
Yeah, that was under Arsene, Pat Rice or whoever. Yeah, exactly. He had them good. All right, that's really good to know. But okay, moving on. So we've talked about 14 to 16.
Mm.
You get to 16, you've done your GCSEs, obviously been at West Ham. Mm-hmm. There's now a decision to make, am I right?
Yeah.
Talk to us about like what happens and how it goes.
You get offered to basically join full-time on a scholarship, or if you're, you know, they see a brighter future for you, or they want to advance you a bit quicker, they'll give you a pro contract as well.
Mm.
So back in the day, it was called a YTS. I don't know if it's still YTS, but it's basically a scholarship, which is for 2 years and you play full time as part of the youth team.
Okay.
And the reserve team. And if you're doing well, the first team.
Yeah.
So some players might get like a 2 year YTS and a 1 year pro, or a 2 year YTS and a 2 year pro or something like that. At the time, I was just given a scholarship, so a YTS, 2 years.
But when you look at like the statistics in football, and at 16 years old, that's great because people are getting sacked off at 16.
Yeah, a lot.
No club. So even to get that YTS, that's like a big achievement.
Yeah.
So you're given the YTS, and like, how do you feel? Do you feel like, okay, this is my time now, I'm gonna take it? Are you feeling a bit apprehensive because you're the young one going into, you know, that the youth team, but potentially that older situation again? Like, what's going through your mind at the time?
No, I wasn't, because I kind of knew I'd get a YTS.
Okay.
Like, definitely, I wasn't sure if I'd get a pro, to be honest, at that age, but I definitely knew I'd get a YTS. Like, I'd done up until, I'd been at the club since I was like 8.
Yeah.
And like, I'd been one of the like leading players in all of the age groups through up until that.
And I've not even asked you, what position did you play?
I started at left back
when
I joined. By the time I was maybe 11 or 12, I was playing centre midfield.
Okay, serious baller. Because serious ballers play. So you were playing centre mid.
Yeah.
For West Ham, Jesus Navas.
Yeah.
Okay, and at 16, you're playing centre mid, yeah?
Yeah.
So talk to me about the 2 years. Like, how do they go for you?
Kind of rough because of injuries, to be honest.
Mm.
Like, picked up a bad injury in the first year that basically X'd me for a good part of the season. And then the second season as well, I was very, very injury prone, like hips and knees and calves and all.
And is that just like from an accumulation of playing so much football from a young age?
Potentially, yeah.
Do you think, like, at the time, were you worried about like nutrition and stuff like that? Because you're quite young.
It was starting to come in. Like, the sports science was just starting to come in when we were doing scholarship and all these kind of things. It wasn't as optimal as what we see today.
Yeah.
But it was slowly getting there.
Okay.
So
what about like the physiotherapy and the science then? Same thing. So like, you're saying you're getting injured.
Mm.
You know, in the Prem now, they've got these things that are preventative. Like, they'll even have people, this guy's tired. Like, he needs a rest.
Yeah.
None of that at that time, would you say?
No, not at that time. I mean, we did do a lot of preventative stuff. You know, you do your gym and all this kind of stuff. And sometimes it can just be down to luck, you know?
Mm.
But again, I'd been playing in an academy since like 8.
Mm.
So like a lot of high level football from a young age, training a lot.
Mm.
So I think that did play its role.
Yeah.
Like, knee injury, I had keyhole surgery.
Oof, that just sounds
cartilage painful. Cartilage issue. So that kept me out for quite some time. But nonetheless, when I did play, like, I played good.
Mm.
Good. I wouldn't say like I was outstanding, but I played good. Played good enough.
You held your own?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but because it was so up and down, no consistency.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about a lot of injuries. I think when I've listened to other podcasts and talking about footballers, like, that has, like, an impact on you mentally.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you had a good support system around you? Like, how are you coping with these injuries, like, and these big injuries?
Yeah, no, our support system was good. Like, dad was always there for me. Mum was always there for me.
Mm.
So from that perspective, I was well looked after. Even the club, for the most part, bar the initial like you might not be able to play again vibes.
Oh my god!
It was they were all right. They were okay. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. And then so obviously you did your GCSEs, but during this time where you've obviously got the scholar, this is full time football, right?
Mm-hmm.
So has your education taken a back seat? Are you doing college, like sixth form? Like, what's going on at this time?
Yeah, so when you usually start your scholarship, you you basically give up doing full-time education, essentially. That's, you've chosen your career path at 16.
Mm.
My parents, I'd say at this point now, were savvy enough to encourage me to still educate myself.
Okay.
So I would study A-levels when I got home from training.
Mad thing.
So I would, what did I study? English literature, economics and psychology, I remember, at A-level.
The thing is, I can see that in you now. I did actually know that at the time.
Yeah.
But listening to you speak and everything, yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I didn't do very well in the literature. I found that really difficult to study on my own. That was, that was so hard.
So you were self-taught, or were your parents like doing the classes and that?
So I was like self-taught pretty much the English literature, hence why I've probably done quite bad. But the economics and psychology, I'd self-taught as well, but I'd go into a college twice in the evening, once or twice in the evening during the week. Plumstead College, community college, actually.
Shout out Plumstead.
Woolwich, what's that like? Woolwich Arsenal kind of way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I used to do that as well. So that was kind of...
That's so mad. And like, was that draining for you? Because obviously, you know, you think about, you know, football, you need recovery. Mm. It takes up a lot of brain power, doesn't it? Having, like, do you think there was a lot on your mind at the
time? Yeah, I think that's why I didn't do well in them in the first year. So I did the first year and I basically flopped them. So I thought, oh, the second year, I'm going to have to get a bit more help here.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's hence the second year I started going to the Plumstead Community College.
Oh, okay, so that happened in the second year.
Yeah,
and so then the second year. Is it through Plumstead that they sort out all your exams? And
yeah, exactly,
and taking
yeah.
those?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about, okay, we'll talk about first your A-levels. How'd you do, if you don't mind me asking?
So I got two Bs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, B in psychology, a B in economics,
yeah,
and then a C in literature. So
I mean,
like,
BBC. Yeah, nobody let that. But yeah, that's not that bad. And then from a football standpoint, so you've come to the end of your 2 years, and what's kind of happened? Like, talk us through.
So yeah, at the end of the 2 years, it's decision time again.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, are they going to give you a pro contract at this point? And the months, or the weeks leading up to, in fact, the week before decision time, I actually got injured and I couldn't play in a game.
That's like, so mad.
And I think that was like the nail in the coffin for me to some degree. Because, yeah, I went into Tony Carr's office and whatever. I still thought I might have a chance, but I wasn't like... But my, obviously, my teammates are like rating me. So they're like, oh, you'll be all right. They'll give you at least a 1 year.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
them
yeah,
much.
Yeah.
You've been there since you were 8. Like, they'll hold you down for like a little 1 year.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But nah, didn't get one.
Damn.
Just, like, told I wasn't going to get one. And yeah, it was like, it was disappointing, man. Like, that was like end of a chapter.
Yeah,
you know, like, especially when you've been somewhere for like
10, 11 years, giving your
like,
life.
You know,
to the club
inside out. You've seen the club transform.
You've been there more than you haven't at that stage.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you've
yeah.
been there more of your life yeah. than you hadn't. So it's a massive part of your life.
Yeah, so it's massive. But there was still something in me that was like, oh, I think I can find another club. Like,
do you have an agent and stuff at this time? Is it your dad?
Actually, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
And I suppose on the YTS, like, not that we need to talk numbers, but because you're full-time, I'm assuming that they're paying you like a salary, right? So you're earning money to play football.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're like, you think you can find another club. So then, yeah, what happens next?
So then my agent, yeah, gets onto the phone to a couple clubs. I go on trial up at West Brom. I go to Leicester. I go to Aberdeen.
Oh, wow. I think I remember that.
Where else do I go? I go Dagenham and Redbridge as well, which is where I actually ended up after. But yeah, when you go to these clubs like West Brom, Leicester's, Aberdeen, you realise that these ain't little clubs.
Yeah,
like these, like you West Ham, like these are not small clubs.
No, they've
got men that have been there since they were 8 as well.
Yeah. Like, of course,
they've got good players there as well. So if you're gonna come in, boy, from West Ham, like you need to be on fire. Like you have to be like 6, 7, 8 times better than them.
Yeah.
And I didn't show that when I went there.
Mm.
So there was no real incentive for them to sign me. So
and with the trials, was it like a day thing? Was it like a week thing? Was it just
weeks,
a match?
Like you go up to there, go lodge with them, they'll give you accommodation, all these kind of things.
Mm.
But yeah, it didn't work out, you know, like,
and how,
especially up them sides, them they don't know me up there either.
Yeah,
like all the teams we play are London, south of England, like,
yeah,
them
yeah,
man
yeah,
don't
yeah.
know me in like up north and
So that, like, those people who were talking about you, like, yeah, you're fine, you're this, you're that.
Yeah.
You ain't got that positive reinforcement. You're kind of starting from scratch. And
from scratch.
You got a scrap for everything.
Exactly.
Okay, so that period of, like, trialing, how long did, like, how, was that just one summer? Was that
Yeah,
just
that was basically, so, you, yeah, the season finishes and then you've got to spend the next pre-season trying to find a club, innit?
Okay.
Like, that's how it goes.
Okay, and then you kind of touched on it, but you land at Dagenham and Redbridge, right?
Yeah, so end up, it's probably the closest team after West Ham to me, to be honest.
Like, okay.
John Steele's at the time.
Yeah.
John Steele's a manager at the time, and I play one trial game, and he's like, we want to sign you, innit?
Yeah.
So initially, I was like, nah, man, this is mad. Like, Daggers are in League Two at the time.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
Gone from West Ham to Dagenham, the training ground's meaty. Like, you have to take your own kit home to wash it.
Do you?
Food is dead out. Like, we're playing some bonkers football.
So why did you go then? If you knew this, or you didn't know, that's what's on the table. Yeah, yeah, it's true.
And you wanted to kick ball, right? Yeah, like, that's what's on the table. The other option was, like, go to the USA and go and study, get a football scholarship, maybe go to, like, I remember having conversations, like, about, because academically I was okay, so I could have run.
Yeah.
Like, go to UCLA or, like, one of these big American universities.
Yeah.
Looking back, probably would have been a decent move.
Experience.
Like, my brother ended up doing that later years and that.
Shout out, Dom.
And it was good. But at that time, football in the US wasn't popping.
That's true.
So I'm thinking, I need to stay. If I'm serious about ball, I need to stay in the UK.
Yeah.
And try and graft it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And see where I go on. So.
Comfortable. So you ended up at Dagenham and Redbridge. So you sign a pro contract.
Yeah.
How long is the pro contract for?
That's 2 years.
That's 2 years.
Yeah.
Do you get to talk us through the 2 years? Did you get to play much football?
Again, the 2 years wasn't anything fantastic either, man. Like, first year was pretty much sent out on loan to non-league club.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So this is when, I joined when the club went up to League One.
Okay.
This was at a time where, like, Southampton were in League One.
Oh, wow, okay.
So this is when... But Southampton still had a good team. Chamberlain, Lallana, Fonte, Jaidi.
Like Gareth Bell? Theo Walcott?
Not Bell.
Okay.
Not Walcott. Bit later on.
Okay.
But
they got ballers. Like, the people that... Ricky Lambert?
At that level in League One.
Their man shouldn't
be playing League One. So it's a step up for the club. Definitely, Dagenham has a long non-league history. So I'm going on loan to non-league clubs, so, like, outside of professional football.
And you say clubs with an S, so you got sent to multiple places in, like, 1 year.
Yeah.
How does that happen and why?
Because you go for, like, a month.
But you can't even, like, impact, because you're not going to get straight into the team.
And it's a different football, bro. You have to understand.
They're trying to kick you in them leagues, isn't it?
Yeah, this ain't West Ham tiki black.
Yeah.
This ain't that.
This is
you need 3 points. Man are getting paid. Like, this is how certain man pay their mortgage. This is not a joke. So I'm going on loan to all these mad non-league clubs, Thurrock and Havant and Waterloo in Portsmouth and flipping Ebbsfleet in Kent. I'm thinking to myself, like, this is mad.
Whilst all this is going on, obviously you've made the decision to not educate yourself. It seems like you've passed on the MLS. So you get to the end of your 2 years at Dagenham River. Are they still in League One? Have they got relegated again?
Got relegated.
Okay.
Back in League Two.
Okay.
Bearing in mind, I've not played any first team football still.
In the 2 years?
In the first year.
Okay.
And then in the second year, it was pretty much the same, but towards the, like, I'd say in the middle of the second year, I started getting in amongst it a bit more.
Yeah.
But still not to the point where, like, I'm playing, innit? Like,
yeah.
Regularly.
Yeah.
You know, like, just FA Cup, like, little snippets here and, like, nothing substantial.
Yeah, I hear you.
So
what does that do for your mental?
Yeah, it's not good, man. Like, it's not great, because it's even more annoying when, like, your teammates know that, like,
You've got something to offer.
Yeah, like, they'll have conversation like, you need to go and speak to the manager, you know, because, like, you should be at least playing somewhat.
Yeah. And
like, you should be playing.
And like, do you think, like, to your point, you know, you spoke about when you were a junior, thinking that, I'm not sure if I'm at that level. Do you think there was a little bit of that, like, I don't think I've got it in me to go and have a go at the manager. It just wasn't that environment. Like, he's
at that point, to be honest, I was like, if I can't play the style of football that I want, I'm not really on it.
Okay.
If I'm honest, like, I don't want to just clip it in the channel and, like, and gain yards.
I
don't really want to play that football. I'd rather not play.
Do
you know what I'm saying? Man are on, oh, we'll just do what the manager says. If the manager wants us to clip it in the channel, then...
Yeah.
But, like, when I put myself forward for something, like, that's going to be the representation of me. Like, I don't want people to say, like, he's just someone who flips it around the corner, and I don't want people to say that. Some men are okay with that.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I do.
It's like anything you do in life. What you present to the world is the perception that people are going to have of you, right?
That's a big fact.
Like, sometimes you've got to think about your own brand, not in a narcissistic way, but just like, how do you want to be perceived as, like, a footballer?
I hear you.
It's like, if boxers, some boxers like to box with style and panache, and whereas
go for the knockout,
flashy, whereas some men are a bit more defensive, do the points thing. But it's all what you want to be perceived as, isn't it?
That's fair. And you kind of live by the sword, die by the sword, which is what you did. And just before we round up on that, like, you spoke about how Southampton were in League One at the time and they had ballers. Did Daggers have any ballers who've, like, gone on to do big things? Because I think
Some good players. Dwight Gayle's probably the biggest one.
I mean, he's in the Prem, scoring goals. So, that's quite big.
Dwight, man, great player. Very good player. We used to play together in, like, many reserve team games and, like, many bomb squad outings until he eventually bust. But so there's a lot of love for him. I'd say he's the main one.
Okay, that's fair. And he didn't go straight to Newcastle, though,
did he? No, he went to Peterborough. Where else did he go? Palace.
Oh, yeah, he went Palace, didn't he? Yeah.
Then Newcastle, I think. But then he's gone on loan to, like, West Brom, mashing it up there. Championship, he's got on lock. Champ's too easy for him, I think.
That's mad.
But he's not getting the run he needs in the Prem.
So. That's true. But when he's had a couple of runs, he's done bits. But we digress. So, coming back to Dagenham and Redbridge. Yeah. All right, you've done your 2 years now.
Yeah.
Is it decision time again? Like, what's going on?
I decided to leave. I terminated my contract early.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, I'm cool, man.
Connor's lived the dream.
Yeah.
So this is, like,
not really
so
a dream, though. Really.
Exactly, and this is what this kind of podcast is for. Like, look, Connor's played at the Prem Club. He's been able to keep himself in the system, but the system ain't everything he's cracked out to be, which is what, you know, we're trying to get across. So you terminate early.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm cool, innit? I'm good.
Wow. Yeah. And what did they try and keep you, or were they just like, nah,
yeah,
cool,
they were a
on your
bit like,
on your Larry?
Like, we should try and work things through, but ultimately they didn't, you know, they weren't like head over heels in like...
Yeah, they weren't doing their utmost.
Yeah, they weren't doing the most to try and keep me. Mm. So, like, yeah, it was pretty mutual.
Okay.
But the they tried to spin it like I turned my back on them. Like, they went to go and tell Sky Sports that, like, the headline was something like, Oakhurst turns his back on Daggers. And
there was a whole headline.
And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, like, I ain't even played that much for you, man.
Yeah, like, so why are they doing
like,
that?
No one knows me in the football scene. Like, why are you going to, it's like almost like you're trying to tarnish my whole thing. So any club I go to now,
he's a bad apple, bad egg,
all these kind of things.
Yeah. Serious
but
question.
It just makes you think, like, that was the day I was like, the media is actually
fucked.
It's messed, bro. Like, it's messed up because if they can do it to me and I'm a nobody, imagine what they're doing to, like,
the big players, like, the big keys. They're tarnishing their name all the time. One thing that comes to my mind there, so you talk about how they've, like, run your name through the mud.
Yeah.
Serious question. If you're white, do you think they do that as well? Like, do you think it was like there's a little racial thing baked in there, like, subconsciously?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Okay. Just asking.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think, I don't know why they did that though, because, like, I was never like a bad egg around the club. Mm. I was never like, I didn't turn up no times or anything like that. So it beats me, but the clubs kind of do that kind of thing to protect themselves, because if I leave and I go bust somewhere, then it looks bad on them.
Yeah. A bit like what's happened with Chelsea with, like, De Bruyne, Lukaku.
Yeah, it looks
almost
bad.
Yeah, I hear that.
Bad for clubs. So they're always going to try and protect their brand.
Mm.
No matter how shit it is anyway.
At the expense of whoever. Like, they got no, like, what's the word? Is it like human care or
Like it's just no morality. Plain and simple. Like, okay. No morals.
So that's how you feel in a type of way about the media and about everything. So yeah. at that time when you make the decision to bust away from them, are you trying to keep him in the football pyramid? Like what's the next
step? Yeah, at
that
point I'm kind of
how old are you as well at this time?
I'm like 20.
20, okay, so still young.
Yeah, like, so at that point I'm like cool. I'm kinda cool just playing non-league. Just playing for fun, like
okay.
Picking up small peas, playing non-league local clubs, and I'm cool with that as a reality. Mm-hmm. But at that point, I'm like, I don't know what to do next necessarily.
Okay.
So,
so you're playing non-league football. You're enjoying the non-league football that you play?
Not particularly.
Oh, so still like a shit brand.
Yeah, like, non-league football is just like
hoof it. Channels.
It's just hoof it channels. Like yeah. No one's got respect for no one.
Yeah.
Like, if you can find a club that suits you, you can enjoy ball. And there were a few clubs that I found that suited me. I was like, yeah, I'm enjoying playing ball.
Mm.
But it's kind of few and far between, isn't it? It's
yeah. kind of like... Any, like, decent cup runs or, like, trophies in that time?
Not really. A couple decent FA Vars
runs
and that. Couple decent FA Cup runs, like, but nothing to... Nothing. Scream about.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
I hear
you.
Okay, so non-league ball's happening. Mm. You're trying to decide what to do next with yourself.
Yeah.
Obviously, you'd gone to college. You've done your A-levels. So, yeah, talk to me about what happens next then, bro.
So, at that point, I do make the decision to go to university.
Come on.
And I don't really know what I want to study, but I definitely know I want to study something that's practical. I don't want to go. I don't want to disrespect degrees and do all them things.
Yeah.
Like I want to study something that's very skill based, very practical, and very forward looking.
Okay.
So I think it was the Social Network movie I watched, the Facebook movie.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg and the Winklevoss twins. And And I was like, oh, like tech just seems interesting.
Mm.
So I ended up picking computer science.
Wow.
To study.
And just to be clear on that, so there wasn't like somebody, there was no mentor that said, I think you should do this.
Nah.
You had no prior knowledge. You've just seen social network.
I'm not even growing up. Like the most geeky thing about me is probably like playing PlayStation.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I'm not really into computing like that.
No. And this is so sick because I think we spoke about on the last pod with Simon. It's like, you don't need to know what it is you want to do.
Mm.
And that is okay. So look at this. You saw the Social Network. You knew you wanted to do something practical.
Mm.
And that's how you've come to the decision to do computer science.
Mm.
Yeah. Was there
but
anything
you, but
else?
Well, just to push back, you do need to think about what you want to do a lot, because we don't get a lot of opportunities in life to pivot careers.
That's true.
And do well.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't say to someone, don't worry if you don't know what you want to do, but I would say think hard about what you want to do.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out, be prepared to pivot.
Yeah.
Yeah, because okay. it does matter.
We'll clip that. Yeah.
It really does matter.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I hear that. So you've gone to do computer science. Where have you studied?
Goldsmiths, University of London. Interesting place.
Shout out Goldsmiths.
Yeah.
And yeah, let's just talk about your time at university. Were you on campus? Did you live at home and commute?
Yeah, just live at home and commute, to be honest.
Okay.
Goldsmiths is much more known for its artistic... kind of creative degrees.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, you know, artists, a lot of creatives, a lot of people in that kind of space. People write poetry, sculptures, painters, all of these kind of things. So being around that kind of energy was quite cool, actually.
Okay.
A bit weird at first because I've never been in that them kind of pockets, but
yeah.
it was quite interesting.
And what, 3 years, right?
Yeah, so a 3 year degree. I did a placement year as well.
Oh, okay. You did that at Sky?
I did that at a company called GSK.
Oh, GSK. Oh, GlaxoSmithKline.
Yeah,
Klein.
So I actually went up north to do it as well. I stayed in a village called, I stayed in Darlington, but the company was based in Barnard Castle, which is like a small village in County Durham, basically.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I played football up there while I was there as well. I played for Durham
okay.
while I was up there, and Olivia Bernard who was the former Newcastle fullback, yeah, I remember. Was the chairman of
that was sick.
So that was pretty dope. So they liked me up there. That was actually probably the one one of the times I enjoyed football a lot.
Were they playing good ball?
I literally just phoned up and I'm coming up from South, coming up from London. This is where I've been playing ball. Can I come and trial with you at Durham? Tried a couple of days and I was like, yeah, we'll sign you. I did really well. I was on stuff when I was there as well.
Okay, playing good ball.
So playing for Durham. And then the manager left. So I joined another club called Washington in Sunderland.
Okay.
And played the whole season with them, banging goals, doing things, enjoying. So yeah.
So you said you did a placement year. Was you there for 1 year then?
I was there for 1 year.
You were there for 1 year. Okay, yeah. So you started at Bernard's team, Durham, and then you went to this other team.
A team called Washington, okay. Which is in Sunderland.
Same league or differently?
Same league.
Okay. Yeah, so. Who was better?
Washington.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. So you made the right choice. Yeah. And you moved deep.
Yeah, it was good, man. It was good.
Did you get player of the year?
There was players that were better than
you. Okay, but you did your thing, though. Yeah. You held up. Yeah, and that's all that matters. Okay, so you've done your 3 years and a placement year.
Yeah.
Talk to me about your university experience. Were you there catching a vibe? Was there much tunning, or was you very focused? Look, you don't get a chance. Like you're saying, you don't get many chances. Were you Eminem? You know, this is my one shot. Did not miss your chance.
Yeah, I was quite focused, and obviously, being a university student, money is tight.
Yeah, so yeah.
Like you're working and trying to find ways to just support yourself while getting through uni and all of these things. So I was working. I did a lot of promo jobs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That kind of stuff when I was at uni. Mm. I don't remember the ton life too much. It wasn't really, there was no ton in at Goldsmiths. It wasn't that kind of vibe at all.
Okay.
Just head down kind of. At first, the programming I found hard, man. Learning to program.
That's what, yeah. Hard, especially man. If you've got no, I want to say passion for it.
Yeah.
Because you've kind of just done it from the jump.
The first 2 years, I was like, this is mad. It's tough, but I'm getting through it. I'm getting through it. I'm doing okay. Then the third year I did a placement, but I actually did it in a more business side of computing.
Okay.
Not on the programming
actually,
side.
Coding, yeah. Yeah, not on the coding and writing side.
And when I did that year, it was great. I enjoyed the team I was working with and all the rest of it. But the job itself, I realised, is not quite it.
Yeah.
Which was good because now I know I can tick that off and be that's not the direction I want to go in.
What was the job title that you had?
Business analyst.
Okay, business analyst, okay.
And then when I came back to uni, I was like, I'm going to go hard with this programming stuff.
Okay.
Let me try and program in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Went hard for the final year and then applied for the Software Engineering Academy at Sky.
Okay, before we get into the Software Engineering Academy at Sky, when you went hard in your final year, obviously for people that are listening to this who want to get into computer science, we know that tech is booming, this and that. Was there any extracurriculars or anything that you applied yourself to do that helped you to grasp it quicker? Any advice that you can give to any aspiring people that might want to get into this or peer
into
this?
Computing and programming in general, there's so many resources. You just need to type on YouTube how to program.
Okay.
And there's thousands of videos of people who have put time and effort in making really good tutorials, really simple, can really onboard you in the most simplified way.
Mm.
So that's a great resource in and of itself.
Just using the internet,
to be honest with you, when it comes to learning to code.
Yeah.
Back then, there wasn't what they have now. They have coding boot camps now, or it wasn't as popular, I should say.
Yeah.
So you can go to a coding boot camp, 6 to 8 weeks, learn to program.
From scratch.
Okay, you can do it in person or online.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you can... for the most part, get a job after it as well, directly after. So you don't actually need a computer science degree to be a software developer, software engineer, programmer.
But do you think it helped?
If you want to go into the deeper stuff in computing, it does help to have that foundation, but I wouldn't call it essential.
Okay.
And it depends what kind of person you are. Do you need to learn something over slightly longer durations of time for information to sink in?
Yeah.
Or can you really
absorb,
go hard in a 3 to 6 month period?
It just
depends on the individual.
Okay.
And obviously, if you feel credentials are still valuable in today's society, some universities still hold weight.
Yeah.
Depending on where you want to work.
That's true.
But Yeah.
Okay, so going back to what you were saying, so you applied for, what was it, sorry, at Sky?
The Software Engineering Academy.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, that program gets, like, thousands of applicants from all over the country. Mm. It's like a graduate program.
How many people get onto it?
30.
Oh, wow, from thousands and thousands. Yeah. And so, I don't want to give the game away. Did you apply to anywhere else, or was it just that one?
Did I apply to anywhere else? I think there was a few, like Google I applied for. Mm. I got interviews, but I wasn't successful.
Mm. Is this all at the same time, like towards the end of your...
End of final year, yeah.
And while you're applying for all of these things, what is it I'm trying to ask here? Just forget it. So, okay, you've applied to multiple places. Mm. And yeah, what's the next... What happens next?
Yeah, so then that was like... I think maybe only the second interview. I don't know if people are that familiar with like graduate programs.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. This is what I was going to ask you. Sorry to jump in. Yeah. Like, did they come up to your uni and do a presentation? Like, how did you know that you wanted to do it at Sky or Google?
I was active online. I was like, just I'm not looking. Trying to be like, again, no, just, but most people look for jobs when they finish uni.
Yeah.
I've got my degree. Let me go look for a job. They've even slapped the degree in my hand, I'm trying to see what's happening.
Before
the end of the year, I'm looking. I'm preparing myself. Yeah. I'm making sure everything's packed.
I was one of those type A. You waited until you got the degree. Yeah. Absolute waste, man.
Yeah. So I was trying to be active.
Okay.
So just. Doing my Googles.
Okay.
Doing my Googles.
Yeah. And Google's your friend, mate.
Yeah. Did my Googles. Sky looked good, looked lit, like good benefits, good starting salary for a graduate, like good name, rata-ta.
Just a bit far, but we won't even talk about that.
Kind of crazy, but that's the graphs you can do when you're young.
Yeah, that's true.
You can travel an hour and a half when you're young.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to be doing that when you're 30 and 40. I don't know if you want it.
I mean, there's some people that do that because Sky employs thousands and thousands of people. Yeah. But yeah, you got into that grad scheme. How long were you at Sky for?
Sky was about 18 months.
18 months, yeah?
Yeah.
And yeah, just talk to me about your time at Sky. Do you feel like was that like real... on-site work experience, like talk to me about the things you learned, or was it I feel like at companies like that they're almost like very nicey-nice, like we're Sky, we can take care of you, we got so much money, like
it is a bit like
different to like a startup.
When you come
you
from
I mean.
their software engineer academy, it comes with like a bit of prestige as well.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah, it does come with a little bit of they're part of the academy kind of vibes.
Okay, so you're one of the few, you're one of the chosen
kind
ones
of vibes, but Sky is obviously a huge company, massive campus, all the bells and whistles, cinemas, multiple restaurants, gym. Obviously, someone who likes sports, so they got all the sports studios.
And they got like the studios there, isn't it? Because I remember I come to Bucky there because they were my client as well.
Yeah, the sports studios, all this good stuff. So like, they try to make it such that you don't really have a reason to leave.
Okay. Yeah.
They it's a good working environment to say the least. Like, it's like almost an extension of like a very high-end uni.
Yeah. Okay. And do you feel like you're learning a lot? I don't want to put Sky on blast there, but would you?
I mean, the academy onboarding is actually quite slow. Like they
really take their time and
ingrain you in the teams. Like the first, I think it was even like first 3 months, you're kind of still working. After you get onboarded, you're still working with other people from the academy before you get put into one of the different teams within Sky.
Okay. And another question, so obviously I work in tech as well. The coding that you do at Sky, are the skills transferable, or is it like Sky's thing, like the language you're doing is for Sky?
That's a good question, actually, because there were teams, so I don't know if people are familiar with Now TV. I don't even know if Now TV is still a thing.
It is.
Now TV were programming in like a very obscure programming language that was only built for the Roku set-top box.
Oh yeah, I know about Roku.
It was called BrightScript or something like that.
Mm.
But outside of that, like the wider technology industry don't use that language.
Yeah.
But programming is very much about concepts. So if you can understand the concept in one programming language, you can understand it in another.
Yeah.
Much like natural language.
Yeah.
You can understand the basics in English. maybe you can learn a little Spanish quite
quickly. Yeah. Or Spanish and Portuguese.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I get you. Okay, so you've done your 18 months there. Obviously, it's a cushy job. Mm. Like, what makes you want to bounce?
The peas.
Oh, the peas. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get to it.
So they were good for a graduate, but you're ambitious. You've got goals, aspirations.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to it.
And you're trying to move from there.
Yeah.
Okay, so where do you end up at now?
So then I moved to a company called Jungle Creations, which was like a social media startup at the time, but had I think at the time I joined, had close to 50, 60 employees. So it was on its way.
Yeah.
And
job title?
Software engineer still.
Okay.
So, software developer.
But more peas. more peas in the background. Okay. Good.
Software engineering at Sky. Then move on to Jungle Software Engineering.
Did Sky try and match you, by the way, when you try and leave?
Nah, because they're very rigid with how they do things. If you come from the Software Engineering Academy, it's got to be a year before you can up your salary to
that. And after
2 years, you can then ask for... And I'm just like, these arbitrary rules don't really run with me.
Yeah, if I'm doing what I'm doing.
And
if you're working at a level...
These men over here are valuing it.
Yeah.
That's the market value for me.
Yeah. That's just a piece of advice. Go where you're valued.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't do that. Like, they're comfortable in their job, but there's money to be had out there. Mm. So yeah, definitely.
And it wasn't just money though. It was the project was interesting to me.
Exactly.
It was this idea of being able to the tech team was pretty much non-existent at the company.
Okay.
So it was like we would build the tech team out.
Okay.
In hindsight, it was a bit too early for me because I was too early in my career to take on some of those responsibilities.
Okay, so how long did you end up being there for?
I ended up being there for like, I think 6 to 8 months.
Okay.
Before moving on to the company that I really enjoyed at the time, a company called Echo.
Yeah.
Now Lloyd's Pharmacy bought us at the time, but what they called now... I don't know. They've rebranded.
That's fine. We don't. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. So that was dope. That's where I learned like really good engineering practices. Like, because in a startup,
kind of like baptism of fire.
Yeah, and you have to wear many hats and you have to do many different things.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You've got to take on a lot of responsibility. So that was a good time.
Okay.
The project I worked on was a Greenfield project.
Oh, okay. Grenfell, you mean? Or Greenfield?
Greenfield.
Okay,
like
what
new,
does that mean?
Like
okay,
a new
okay,
project
sorry,
like
okay,
from scratch.
Oh, okay, wow, that's really exciting. Okay.
So, and again, the peas were upped.
Yeah, okay.
Like healthy.
Have to.
Yeah, the peas were upped.
Living good.
All the stuff that comes with a startup if you get, you know, acquired
and stuff like that.
All that good stuff.
Yeah, but do you know much about stock options at this stage? Because I had them in my company and we were fortunate enough to get acquired.
Mm.
And it's like, it's only when you realise that you're getting bought, you're like, what do these things mean?
Yeah.
Like, how much?
At the time, no.
Exactly.
I didn't technically get stock options.
Yeah.
I technically got, like, basically just a bonus.
Oh, okay.
Equivalent to what the stock options would have been.
Oh, okay.
In essence.
Mm. But do your research, guys.
Yeah.
If you're going to a company and they're offering you these things, if it pops off in, like to Connor's point, right, when you move to a company, you kind of move because you believe in what it is you're doing there. You're not just going for the peas.
Mm.
And if you believe in the software or whatever, make sure you do your research on the stock options because you don't want to end up getting burned.
But
how long were you there at Echo?
Then, yeah, that was... 2 years.
Little bit of a mazza happened there, or have I got that wrong?
Bit of a mazza. I don't even know if I want to go into that one too tough.
That's fair.
I can maybe chat about it, like,
because it leads you into crypto, right? Or
to some degree, like, so while I'm at Echo, 2017 is when I learn about Bitcoin.
Yeah,
I'm still at Echo.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah,
so
let's
I left
about
Echo
that.
In. 2020, summer 2020, basically.
Oh shit! Okay, so let's go back to 2017 then. So how is it you find out about Bitcoin?
So I actually found out 2017. I was still at Sky at the time, actually.
Yeah.
But someone in my team, basically, this is a time when the price of Bitcoin is going up.
Like
late 2017. So yeah. I'm just jumping in because I want to make peace.
What's the price of Bitcoin at this time? When
it's close to 20k, like
oh god,
dollars.
In 2017,
yeah,
it was at 20k.
Yeah, at the height.
Mad thing. Okay.
The height, yeah.
Okay.
$20,000 at the height. So I'm just getting in thinking, yeah, this thing is going to go. Like, I'm not even really understanding what I'm buying into. And I didn't buy enough to, like, get wrecked, to get
I hear you.
Bought a little bit. And shortly after, the price dips, goes
crazy,
like $3,000.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, oh, well, I have to hold that L. But I stayed around because I have the technological background. So I'm like, okay, let me find out what this is all about properly. Mm. Let me actually do my due diligence properly,
which everyone should always do. Yeah, never just buy stuff to make money. Facts. Because when you buy stuff to make money, that's called speculation.
Facts.
That's not investing or you know, understanding the essence of things.
Facts.
And like when people talk to me about Bitcoin and oh, like how do you deal with the volatility, it's because I understand to an extent,
yeah,
you know, the use cases and the need for it, and you know, the problem with the world at the moment, like you said at the start. But sorry, back to you.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. And then spent from like 2017 up until when I started working on Bitcoin full time in summer of 2020, just learning, understanding, reading all the technology books.
So did anyone get you onto anything, or is Google your friend again?
Google's my friend. YouTube's my friend. Like,
and like, how is it that you've become
Rob, I'm
so
like a loser, Rob. Like, really and truly, like, I'm like when men are turning up sometimes, like, people think, like, might think I turn up and stuff, like, sometimes, but really and truly, that's like kind of new from, like, when man out, I'm like watching geeky videos about Bitcoin in like at 10 p.m. at night. Like,
fine.
When man are watching Netflix, like, I'm reading like Internet of Money.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so like,
you've applied yourself.
I've had to like go through the education like 3 years just by myself, like just learning about it while people are not getting it and thinking I'm going mad for
And do you think that that, you know, going back to what you're talking about before, your West Ham days and having to be self-taught, do you think that that has given you kind of the characteristics to self-teach yourself things such as Bitcoin? Or do you think, like,
I think so. Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think, look, like, my family and stuff, everyone's academic in nature.
Everyone's
good with their books. Mm. Like, just, we have that essence anyway. But even beyond that, it still does take a little bit of discipline to like knuckle down, learn a new thing.
Yeah.
Like, especially when it's not part of your upbringing.
Yeah.
Tech and stuff wasn't necessarily part of my upbringing.
And did your parents, obviously, we spoke about them, you know, the constants in your life.
Mm.
Well, did they understand tech? Did they try and push you into anything else?
Yeah, I mean, like, my dad understand tech quite well, and he'd build like websites and stuff in like old school software, like Dreamweaver and all these things.
Okay.
So like, he was quite tech savvy. Like, mum, not so much, but so there was that kind of inclination to be interested in tech and stuff.
I hear you. So. Okay, and I think just a key thing to point out here. So this is a constant within the first couple of episodes I've done.
Mm.
Like you said, to your point, you know, you're watching YouTube videos, this is that, you've been learning for 3 years. Like, to get to where you've got to understand crypto, to be in it, like, it don't just happen. You don't just speculate. Like, you have to work.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think that there's gimmies in life, but to be successful...
Rarely.
Like, you got to be lucky, or you got to be born into it. But, like, to go from nothing, to something, you have to put in the work. And these are all the things, like, to your point, people think you've been tunning, this, that, and the other. They don't see this bit. They don't see this bit. They don't see the fact that you don't watch Netflix. They don't see the fact that you ain't actually going out on a Saturday night. They don't see the fact that you're putting in all of these extra hours. Do you get what I mean? And I think it's just good to hammer that home.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be successful in something, or if you want to learn something, you really have to apply yourself. And it's not, I'm going to apply myself for a week, I'm going to read one book. Connor said he's been learning about it for 3 years. He's still learning about it.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
I feel like I ain't even touched the surface more time. Like, in our industry, new people come into the space and they change your whole perspective. And things like,
exactly.
Rah, like, he gets it.
Yeah.
I need to see what he's on.
Yeah.
He gets it.
So, we've kind of dotted about, but just, we don't have too much time left, but to focus on crypto. So how is it you've gotten into the job you're kind of in today? So you've been applying yourself. Like, how do you start speaking to people about crypto, and then how does this opportunity kind of arise?
So when I leave Echo, I decide I'm at the point where I've got a lot of conviction in Bitcoin. I think it's going to be the next thing, right? So I'm like, how do I get to a point where I can just concentrate and work on Bitcoin full time? I don't know in what capacity, whether it's an educator, whether it's doing software engineering in Bitcoin, whether it's doing whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm racking my brain to think about how to get into it. And long story short, I was basically offered a grant from the company I work for now to work on Bitcoin full time.
But how'd you get offered the grant? Like, what is it? Like, how is it Google? Like, do you go Bitcoin grant?
So I'm volunteering in the space
and once again, giving up your own time.
Yeah, in various capacities. So I'm helping to organize like a conference in London where developers and builders in the space come together and share ideas, listen to talks, do workshops, build, congregate, all of these kind of things. I'm volunteering and just helping to facilitate that.
Yeah.
So I do that. Just meet people in the space, like get to know the community. Then I helped start a Bitcoin design community, which is like focused on improving the user experience in Bitcoin. Because it's very rough at the minute.
Yeah,
like,
it's very true.
Trying to use Bitcoin is tough. It's like trying to use the internet in 96 or 7. But we know what happens 10 years later with the internet, right?
I mean, look at
that's kind of where we're at with Bitcoin. It's kind of like very early stages. So nonetheless, like, having done some of those things, my manager now, at the time, he was like, oh, would you be interested in doing the work you're doing, but on a full-time basis, like all this stuff that you're contributing to? Would you like to do it on a full-time basis? And yeah, they give me a grant, a six-month grant. So I was working in various ways in the Bitcoin community. So I started the design.
But does the grant allow you to do your own thing?
Like, yeah, so the grant is perfect for me because like, I'm my own boss. I can, I'm not micromanaged. I can work from anywhere in the world I want.
Come on.
Good salary. Like, well, it's not a salary, but it's a
good... The grant is for you.
Yeah. It's a good amount of money. Decent duration of time. Perfect. Get to work on what I'm very much interested in. And then, so during that grant, I'm working on various stuff. I'm working on helping to improve the UX of Bitcoin. I'm helping to create developer libraries that makes building on top of Bitcoin easier. I'm educating people with the platform that me and my team, Matt and Carolee, Hello Bitcoin. I'm doing some educational stuff to help people learn about Bitcoin.
We'll plug that in a bit.
Just a whole host of stuff. Podcasting, I'm trying to help people understand Bitcoin from a design perspective. I'm doing just stuff that I think is going to provide value. You know, I don't know where it's going to take me. I'm just going where I think there's going to be value added.
And so is this your first... So you had the grant and now you're working full-time and this is at Square Crypto, right?
Yeah, this is at Square Crypto. And when the grant finishes...
So you're still in that first 6 months?
Yeah.
Okay,
so the grant finishes after 6 months. And then my manager, Steve, he says, do you want to join us full-time?
Oh, okay.
Like... kind of like really like the work you've been doing, like there's a new position that's come available. And at the I'm thinking, I'd never, after what happened at Echo, we've kind of missed it, but like bad experience at Echo made me not want to jump very quickly back into the kind of corporate world, startup world. So I'm the only way that's happening for me is if I'm working on Bitcoin. And it just so happens the capacity in which my team works in is solely to improve the Bitcoin ecosystem. That is our, we don't have a business objective. We're not here to make money. So a lot of people, a lot of maybe outsiders might not necessarily understand how we fit in to the wider ecosystem, but we're here to improve the user experience so people can use it more. We want it to be like a global currency so it's accessible to more people.
Exactly.
We want to improve the privacy, the security and the scalability.
So it's almost like, I suppose it's like social work in a way, in like, if you, you know, you've got social workers who kind of, you know, work with kids and whatever, like people don't understand the work that social, they don't understand the value that that brings.
Look at it this way, like when a new piece of technology that's revolutionary comes into being, it's not always the case that the environment is ready for it.
That's true.
When the car comes into existence, the roads are not built for cars, they're built for horses.
Yeah.
So it takes, it's not that the car is a bad invention or anything like that.
Facts.
But at the time, people were saying that. They were like, this four-wheeled machine is going to blow up and cause all sorts and we should just stick to horses. But people who are thinking were saying, no, we should pave the roads.
Yeah.
So we're paving the roads for Bitcoin.
Jeez, come on.
That's what we're doing
at the moment. Come on. What a... What a metaphor.
Yeah, man, that's you see that a lot in technology, actually.
Yeah.
And it's some people, it's difficult to kind of look through the challenges and kind of see the vision of what something can be. Mm. But yeah, we're building the infrastructure to make it a real thing.
And I suppose from where you've gone to, so footballer to wanting to help pave the road for Bitcoin, what is it that made you want to give back to Bitcoin in this way? Like, yeah, why do you want to do that? And why do you not want to do something else in the Bitcoin space, I suppose?
I feel like I owe a lot to Bitcoin. Jeez. To the lifestyle I'm living now.
Okay.
Like, many of us understand what it can do in terms of helping us fight against like inflation.
Yeah.
So like we can now save.
Yeah.
And have our money be more valuable in the future. Almost, yeah. I don't want to say guaranteed, but at this point, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. I never like to give financial advice.
Yeah, we don't actually on this podcast.
And we don't give financial advice, but you should think long and hard about allocating some of your wealth to Bitcoin, because you do not want to miss out.
But do your own research and not financial advice.
It's not financial advice.
Yeah.
Do your own research.
Yeah, exactly.
But you should expose yourself in some way to Bitcoin. That's what I would
say. Yeah, and on that note, let's plug a couple of things while we wrap this up. So how can people kind of get some knowledge on Bitcoin? Like, I know you got me to read the Bitcoin Standard. How would you advise people who are listening?
I didn't have
this?
The videos at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would go to Hello Bitcoin on YouTube, watch myself and watch our other video hosts teach about Bitcoin.
Can I just say, the videos that he's doing, like, it's been endorsed by Jack Dorsey, who is the CEO of Twitter. Like, Busta Rhymes has seen it. The people who were retweeting Connor's face and we're just seeing it is crazy. Like, yeah. The reach of these videos, like, Connor talks about paving the way. When you look at some of the people that this has touched around the world, like, Connor's already on the way. Like, you're doing a big thing, man. So yeah.
So that would be my first kind of call to action. Go and watch the Hello Bitcoin.
We'll put that in the description. We'll put a link in the description.
Visit the website. There's a lot of good introductory stuff for beginners on the website as well.
Yeah.
And start there, and you'll very quickly go down like the rabbit hole, we say.
Yeah.
Then you can start going into buying your first bit of Bitcoin or exchanging your labor for some Bitcoin as well.
Yeah. Do you get paid in Bitcoin?
I don't, but that's a result of being like the only UK employee hired by a US company, basically.
Okay. It's techie.
Yeah, it's a bit techie. Okay. But the rest of my team do.
Oh, okay, sick.
So I'm trying to see how I can finesse it such that I can.
Yeah. Just as we wrap up, I suppose just the last couple of questions from me. One is gonna be, do you feel like everything in your life has happened for a reason? Like, being in crypto now, obviously, you say you got in 2017. Mm. Obviously, it's been around since 2010.
Mm.
Do you think if you didn't do football, you would still end up at this point? Do you wish you got in earlier? Or do you think, nah, you know what? All the experiences have kind of built me to where I'm at now.
All the experiences have built me to where I am now, man.
Yeah, like, come on.
I don't have any regrets.
Yeah.
I don't have any. And if you do have regrets, you have to learn to live with them anyway.
Yeah. Does Square Crypto have a football team? You
no football team. I'm working on it, though.
Okay,
but them US men don't really ball like that.
Soccer.
Yeah, they don't really ball like that. So, yeah, I might have to take up another sport. I don't know.
Lacrosse or something.
Yeah, facts.
Okay, final question before I let you go. Obviously, this is the Vibes and Tribes podcast.
Mm.
Bitcoin, like you say, it's affording you to live a life that, you know, you're very fortunate to live.
Mm.
Where's your favourite place that you've been, or where is it that you want to go to? Where should we be podcasting on next?
Favourite place I've been? Oh, that's a tough one, man.
Been or would like to go to? Whichever's easiest.
My favourite, I'd say, it's got to be Jamaica, man.
Jeez, come on. Yeah. I don't even know what that was.
Yeah, it's got to be Jamaica.
Okay.
Just like heritage-wise,
yeah.
Like, grandma lives there. It's just rooted.
Yeah.
Just feel rooted when you go there.
Mm.
You know, so when you live in like a high rise city, going back to nature just feels different.
Slaps differently.
Yeah, it just slaps differently. Uh-huh. It's like, this is earth.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have to get you back on maybe to discuss Jamaica, because, yeah, you know, we do have the vibes and we do have the tribes.
Yeah, enough vibes over there, enough.
That's what we like to hear. Yeah, but with that, before we let you go, do you want to plug any socials? I know we've spoken about Hello Bitcoin. Is there anything that you want to get people on?
Nah, man, I don't like...
Stealth mode. Yeah, okay.
I don't like the whole following, but definitely follow Hello Bitcoin. That's definitely, like, that will give you some value. I don't know if following me directly will give you much value for money, but like, that will be a decent one for you to follow Hello Bitcoin.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Connor, thank you so much for today. Yeah, I feel like we could have spoken for, time, and we could have gone into stuff in more detail, but I think we got what we needed from today.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, you started as a professional footballer.
Yeah.
But you've pivoted. Like, the pivot is crazy. The Cruyff term in your career.
Might need to keep pivoting. Like, that's just keep checking shoulders.
That's it. Here we go. But with that, Con, it's been Vibes and Tribes.
Make sure you lot like, subscribe. I don't know if you're getting onto them. I do on the on my bros one. Like, you lot have to support. Like, we're trying to create this decentralized media life.
Exactly.
If we don't tell our story, then someone else will, you know?
Yeah, so make sure you like, subscribe if you've got to this point. Share as well. The little videos we do on Instagram, please share. You know, help the algorithms, man. It's all about the interactions.
Facts.
So, with that, Connor, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Over and out.